Florida's governor says it's time to end pandemic restrictions in Florida, but he has many critics. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead this hour, why politicians and public health officials around the state say Governor DeSantis is moving too soon to end all COVID measures. What do you think? Give us a call now. It's 549-2937. Then later, some positive news and notes for your week. It's our What's Good Wednesdays later in the hour. First, though, the latest numbers on the pandemic. The state reports that COVID cases increased again yesterday by 3,682. Deaths rose by 92. The death toll in the state now stands at 35,399. And only about a third of Florida residents have been fully vaccinated. Speaking of which, Walmart's and Sam's Club now say they are offering walk-up vaccine appointments. So that gives you another option to go get your vaccine. Just roll in to a Walmart or a Sam's Club location and get the shot. You don't even have to make an appointment there anymore. All right, let's talk about the big story today. Some Florida officials are voicing outrage over the governor's suspension of all local COVID-19 emergency orders. Ron DeSantis issued his executive order Monday. It won't take effect till July, by the way. The state, as I mentioned, has about 30% of the population fully vaccinated. And the governor says, because of the abundant supply of vaccine, it's time to end restrictions. Now, businesses will still be able to mandate that people inside their establishments wear masks and practice social distancing. And the order doesn't apply to schools either, at least not yet. That said, mayors and doctors around the state are criticizing the governor's move. Dr. Michelle Aquino is a hospitalist at Baptist Health in Jacksonville, and she's on the line. Dr. Aquino, good morning.
Good morning, Melissa.
Already getting your calls, let us know your thoughts about the governor's move lifting COVID restrictions in Florida. This doesn't really take effect till July, we might add. It's 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org and tweets to @MelissaInJax. Well, Dr. Aquino, mayors around the state, like the mayor of St. Petersburg, Rick Kreisman, the mayor down in Miami, others, they've really been harshly critical of the governor this week, saying that he's overriding their ability to keep their cities safe because we do still have the virus with us and there are deadly variants circulating in the state. What are your thoughts as a physician?
Yeah, you know, this is concerning, and I think that making a big general rule for the whole state of Florida is a little scary right now because, you know, there's pockets of areas that aren't doing so bad in terms of their numbers, and there's other pockets that are doing not so great. So I think it needs to be not a, you know, one-and-done thing for everyone. I think it needs to be a little more personalized. So, you know, that is concerning. And when you look at the numbers, we are nowhere near herd immunity yet. Now, I will say this. Supposedly, this is going to be effective in July, correct?
July 2021
is what we're looking at. Right. Yeah. So, you know, it could be a different picture in July. I know President Biden was saying, you know, he wants, what is it, 70% of everyone to have at least one shot. You know, if we get that goal and our immunization number is much higher by July, you know, would I be frustrated with this edict? Probably not, as long as we're, you know, our numbers are higher. We have, or we're near herd immunity. Our, you know, our caseload is going down. Our percent positivity is going down. If all those numbers look good by July, I'm okay with this.
Right,
but I think right now.
But you think right now,
you know,
not yet. The governor said this
not
is
yet.
An evidence-based decision based on the abundant supply of vaccines. Now, that said, as I pointed out, only about 30% of Florida residents have been fully vaccinated. And there are so many vaccine hesitant folks out there, Dr. Aquino. What's your message to them?
You know, it's frustrating because we all need to take a moment and think of how privileged we are here in the United States to be able to have the option of saying, no, I don't want a vaccine. There's people dying for vaccines right now, literally dying across the world. And, you know, we have people here saying, I don't want one. So it's a bit frustrating. It really is. You know, I want to commend I think we're at 30.2% of the, you know, population in Florida is vaccinated, fully vaccinated, by the way. I want to commend those people, and we need to do better. We need to get more people on board and, you know, reach that herd immunity or just get more robust numbers of people vaccinated. Because, you know, we don't want this pandemic to keep going. We really don't want to keep doing this in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, you know, having ongoing booster shots and the numbers going up and the numbers going down. And we don't want that. We want this to end. And I think ending it, you know, mask wearing is one of the important things to help control this pandemic along with a vaccination. You know, I would love to see Governor DeSantis really make a bigger push for vaccination and really get out there and start helping us getting all these other people that aren't vaccinated yet. I would like to see that also with you know, what he's doing right now with this edict. I think that's lacking right now.
Let me ask you as well about the variants that I know are of great concern to doctors and public health officials like yourself. Florida has, I believe, more cases of a deadly and highly contagious strain of the coronavirus variant more than any other state we have here. What are you seeing at Baptist Right. Health? Tell us about that.
Okay, well, one thing about the variants everyone needs to understand is we do not check every single person that's COVID positive to see if they have a variant. Only roughly about 1% of all COVID testing undergoes genetic coding, and that means when you do the genetic coding, you can tell if it's, you know, if it's a variant or what type of variant. Only 1% of all testing actually has that occur. So right now, when you look at the CDC website, we have something like, I want to say, greater than 6,000 cases right now, variants, and greater than 60% of those are the British variant. That is the highly contagious variant that we are seeing. And again, if greater than 60% of those cases are the British variant and only a total of 1% are being tested for these variants, imagine how many true variants there are in our community. And so that's why, you know, one of the first things you think of is masking, masking, masking. That really helps decrease the spread, especially when we have so many unknowns in terms of variants. Variants are scary. We truly do not have a specific number of how many people have variants or how pervasive they are in the community. And so, you know, the government can tell us what to do in certain things, but this doesn't mean you have to listen. So just because they say you don't need to wear a mask, I can assure you I'm wearing a mask. I can assure you in the hospital, we're all still masking. Medical personnel, we're continuing to mask. And so really, remember who's giving you the guidance, because those variants are out there. They are scary. And so we need to continue masking against them.
It's 549-2937. Our guest right now is Dr. Michelle Aquino from Baptist Health in Jacksonville. We want to hear what you think about Governor DeSantis lifting all COVID restrictions as of July 1 around the state. This would override any local orders on masking and such. 549-2937. William at the Beaches. Hi, William.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks. Go ahead.
Yes, I think he's lifting the restrictions too soon, simply because I believe that this COVID virus will be around for such a long time. Let's give it some time to dwindle lower and then think about restriction lifting. It's not surprising to me that Governor DeSantis would jump into this arena so soon, since he's trying to run for president. So I'm not surprised at his comments.
You think it's a political move, not a public health move?
Absolutely. Everything he's done so far has been a political move. But I do think that when it comes to the COVID and these variants, he is not one to lift anything at this time. He should listen to the professionals, listen to the doctors, the people with the license, and then he could do other things and run this country or this city or this state.
Thanks, William. Andrew is in Mayport. He's got another take on this. Hi, Andrew. Good morning.
Hey, yeah, I work with a team of people across the U.S., you know, kind of working from home, and their stories are devastating about the lockdown provisions in their local communities. And regardless of the levels of resources they have access to, we have people losing their minds. And it's just devastating. So I think we're a case study in success, you know, whether it was political or whether, you know, DeSantis was listening to the professionals. I think we're a case study in success here in Florida. Everyone wants to be like us. So And I'll take comments off the air.
Thank you, Andrew. Okay, Dr. Aquino, there you have the two perspectives on this from those two callers. Some people concerned, still very concerned about the virus and disease and death. Others saying lockdowns have been equally devastating in other respects. What's your response to that second caller?
You know, I think Andrew makes a great point, and he's, you know, talking a lot about the mental health issues that we've had with this, with this pandemic. And I, you know, it's interesting because this is Mental Health Awareness Month. I don't know if anyone knew that. Mm-hmm. And it's a significant issue with COVID and all the lockdowns in all age groups, you know, that the patients in the nursing homes that aren't able to see family or have visitors, the little ones that are, you know, away from their friends, and they're also suffering. So everyone across the board is suffering mental health issues from this pandemic. And, you know, at the end of the day, we really have to say we need to be safe, okay? I agree. Let's open the schools. Open businesses. I think it's going to be better for everyone. My only issue as a physician is do it safely. That's all I ask. Just do it safely. I think wearing a mask is not an extremely hardship. It is not a hardship. Mm-hmm. You know, you're wearing a dollar mask over your face. That is not difficult, regardless of what people, you know, people in the that don't want to wear them say. It is not difficult. Wear a mask. That's all we're saying. So I think that we can open up, you know, things slowly. We have been here in Florida. We have been opening up businesses, schools, and all that. And our numbers are not horrific. Okay, they're not great, but they're not horrific. Okay, fine. You want to open things, do it. But just do it safely. That's my only issue. Do it safely. And you just see that people seem to be on either extreme. They're either closing everything down, and you have the repercussions of that, or they want to open up everything, and you're, you know, seeing some repercussions from that. So I wish we could get just a middle ground of common sense. Yes, let's open things up. It's going to be better for everyone, and do it safely. Get vaccinated and wear your mask. I really don't think that is such a difficult thing. We just need a middle ground, common sense.
Sure,
and I wish
sure.
everyone would kind of get there.
And, you know, I hear that a lot, too. And I think it also needs to be pointed out that the numbers, the COVID numbers on the around the state, part of the reason they're not higher is because mayors and county commissioners and such in Florida's largest cities, they did most of the heavy lifting on this. They took the lead on mask mandates and other restrictions, social distancing norms to keep the numbers down. And so I think some of these mayors feel as though the governor is taking credit for the numbers and undercutting their ability to keep their populations safe when they were the ones that showed leadership on this, including Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry, by the way, who instituted a mask mandate early on and kept it going for over a year. And lots of calls on this. Let's go to Elizabeth in San Marco. Hi, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I've been fully vaccinated with the Pfizer, and I'm still wearing a mask in public and hand washing and all that. What I'm worried about the variants and the risk from them to people who've been vaccinated.
Sure. Okay, so for someone like Elizabeth, doctor, who's been fully vaccinated, should she still have any concerns, particularly regarding the variant of the virus?
Yes, everyone needs to have concern. And I want to stress, there is nothing that is 100%. Okay, so even if you're 2 weeks from your last vaccine, your Pfizer or Moderna second shot, 2 weeks after that, that's when we consider you fully vaccinated. And your immunity should be 94%, 95%, okay? That is not 100%. So even vaccinated, you can still get an infection. You can still get COVID. And this is what we call breakthrough cases. So breakthrough cases do occur. We know this. And again, with the variants within our community, and we don't really know exactly how the concentration of variants within our community, we don't have a specific number, there is absolute concern. And so when we say wear your mask, even if you've been vaccinated, that's why I wear my mask. And I think we need to continue. Now, you know, the CDC just came out with recent guidelines saying if you are fully vaccinated and you are outdoors, the small gathering, you do not need to wear your mask. That is lovely. Enjoy mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, okay?
And
absolutely.
If you're outdoors,
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Enjoy that.
Enjoy. Let me get a few emails and tweets on the air. Here's one from Coral. The lockdowns have had devastating consequences. Wolfson's Children's reports a 20% increase in child abuse cases in 2020. Perhaps the governor's decision was intended to motivate people to get vaccinated. Here's a tweet, or excuse me, an email from Mary. I think the governor misspoke when he said people have the wherewithal to protect themselves with vaccines. Did he forget our children under 16 can't get them yet? My child needs one and can't yet. Let's not put her at risk until she can protect herself. Let me ask you about that. Children now account for more than 20% of new COVID cases in states that are putting out that data, Dr. Aquino. And most kids that get COVID don't get seriously ill, but a few have. Some have. And so what about that piece of the puzzle?
Right. We have to look at the kids, right? And you mentioned the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with the most recent numbers. In the last week of all new COVID cases in the last week in the United States, there were 319,000. About 71,000 of those were in children. That's 22.4%. Roughly one in five of all COVID cases in the United States in this last week was in children. In other words, people under, you know, under 18. So that is concerning. Kids are getting it. And, you know, if you think of the vaccination process, we're vaccinating, you know, the older population, so they're not getting infected. And so the virus is going to keep working. It's still here. It's in our community. And who does it have to go to now? The younger kids. And so that's why those numbers are going up. You know, and when you look at the top nine causes of death in the last year for children, COVID is in there, is in that list. So COVID does not affect children as severely usually, but it can. And right now we see it going to children as the next vector. So, you know, we're going to be spreading more and more kids are going to be getting this. Having said that, Pfizer right now is waiting for the FDA to approve their vaccine for children 12 to 15 years old. So this younger subset of kids from 12 to 15 years old who have medical disease, who the parents are waiting for the vaccine to be approved, that should happen next week is what we think is going to be the timing of that. So there is some good news for that group of kids.
That is good to hear. Lots of tweets on this. Here's one from Peter. This is a PR move by the governor for Trumpsters. Since the state never mandated anything, why not let local governments keep their power until they feel the numbers warrant less restrictions? From Larry, he tweets, I think less government mandates and more individual choice is the right answer. If someone wants to take more precautions, that is their right and vice versa. And lots of calls, too. It's 549-2937 as we talk with Dr. Michelle Aquino over at Baptist Health. Jax, the governor, if you're just tuning in, says as of July 1, he's lifting all restrictions in Florida around COVID-19. Individual businesses could still ask customers to wear masks. And as of right now, this order doesn't apply to schools. We'll see how this plays out over time, though. Let's take a few more calls. Janelle is in Ortega Forest. Janelle, how are you? Good morning.
I'm fine. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I keep hearing the governor say that his actions are evidence-based, but he never cites the evidence. We don't know who the people are that he is consulting. There are doctors, and then there are doctors. There are doctors who know something about what they're talking about, and there are others who are not specialists in the areas we're talking about. And so I would like to know what evidence and who the governor is getting his advice from medically.
Okay.
Also, this I think it's another example of the state government taking more and more local control away from us. That's happened in several bills this legislative session and also in recent past. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, it's certainly a departure from the traditional conservative view on home rule, Janelle. That is certainly the case. And Dr. Aquino, you know, Governor DeSantis participated in a roundtable with some medical advisors, and it got deplatformed from YouTube because YouTube said that the governor was participating in a roundtable on COVID-19 that was spreading misinformation. The medical advisors that he had on camera with him are controversial. We do need to note that. The governor responded with legislation aimed at big tech and their ability to deplatform individuals, videos, et cetera. But when he says this is evidence-based, when I look at the quote from the governor, he's saying this is evidence-based, referencing the abundant number of vaccines available. That was what he cited. And that he's right in that there is plenty of vaccine available. As I said at the top of the hour, Walmart and Sam's Club are now offering walk-up appointments. There are many places where you can go get the vaccine. There's plenty of vaccine supply. The problem, of course, is demand. The problem is getting people to go get the vaccine.
Right. And so that's the big issue. Remember, as of today, 30.2% of the population of Florida is fully vaccinated. Okay, fully vaccinated. That's not enough. We need more. And so this evidence that he's referring to, I'm not really sure. I mean, there is evidence we're getting vaccinated. Our numbers aren't crazy high, correct? So if you're going to refer to that evidence and say that doesn't look so bad, so based on that, I'm making this decision. I mean, he's not lying, right? That is the truth. There is evidence, but I don't know if it's good, solid evidence that I would make such a decision on. So I want more evidence. If you're asking, okay, Dr. Aquino, you've been keeping up with this. Well, where would you say would be a good time to, you know, lift the mask mandate? I would say we need much closer to herd immunity. We want that 70% vaccination rate. That's the percentage that we're all aiming for. Will we reach 70%? I don't know, but that's what we're reaching for. So if you tell me, hey, you know what, we're at 68%. Our percent positivity in the community is 2%, meaning, you know, COVID is not running rampant in the community. It is controlled. Then I would say, sure, you can put, you know, take off masks. You don't make people wear masks. Are you going to ask me if I'm going to continue wearing a mask? I will continue wearing a mask. I tell you right now, for people that are wearing masks, that are doing the work, that are getting vaccinated, I don't see any time in the extreme near future where we are not going to be wearing masks. I would just tell you that.
You mean at the hospital?
No, in the community.
And anywhere you go in the community. Yeah, the mandate in Jacksonville has been lifted, we need to note.
Right.
However, just anecdotally, I've noticed going into grocery stores, most people are still masking up, which is good. Yeah. A listener also asked us to point out that Winn-Dixie, Southeast Grocers, Harvey's, they also have walk-in opportunities to get the vaccine. So if you take nothing else from this discussion, everyone, it's this. Just go get the vaccine because the data is overwhelming. A highly vaccinated population sees COVID hospitalizations and death numbers plummet. So it's in everyone's best interest to get the vaccine. The sooner we're all vaccinated, the sooner we can move on from this horrible time. And the sooner we can all stop these kinds of precautions. So I want to thank you, Dr. Michelle Aquino, hospitalist at Baptist Health Jacksonville. Thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate you being with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Much more still ahead. Later, some good news and notes for your week, including the return of the Jacksonville Auto Show. But up next,
I've never been as worried about family and friends in India as I am now.
A horrible story overseas as Indian Americans here on the First Coast cry out about the COVID catastrophe in their homeland. That's next.
Able Bean Law, offering full-service employment-based immigration practice, assisting employers in recruiting, visas, citizenship, and more, and is backed by over a decade of experience. More info at ablebeanlaw.com. Committed to your success.
Well, as we've been talking about on the show today, the pandemic is still active in this country and around the world, but in India, the COVID crisis is especially acute. India accounted for 1 in 4 COVID deaths recorded around the world last week, the World Health Organization said. And there aren't enough oxygen masks or vaccines or even hospital beds for the sick and dying there. We spoke with UNF's Parviz Ahmed on the horrific death toll in his homeland from COVID. Take a listen. Hi, Parviz. Always good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
So we've been watching from afar the horror show in India with just a terrible, terrible situation when it comes to dealing with people who are sick and dying from COVID-19. You, of course, have a deeply personal connection to what's happening there, having immigrated to America from India. The cases are spiraling out of control. It's just awful. And I'd like to just get your thoughts about this, because I know you have family and friends over there that you're worried about.
Yeah, definitely. A great deal of worry. I've never been as worried about family and friends in India as I am now. Partly is because that I have not yet spoken to anybody who is from India that does not have either a member of their family or somebody in their friend circle who has not either passed away from COVID or in the hospital due to COVID or infected from COVID. Mm-hmm. Several people in my family have been already infected with COVID. One uncle came back from the ICU, thankfully, just a few days ago. As you noted, you know, the 7-day average for daily COVID cases in India is well over 400,000, a number that has not been seen in any country during this over 1 year of pandemic. Daily average deaths are averaging over 3,000. And these numbers are severe undercounts. And when I mean severe undercounts, I mean they're undercounted by the magnitude of almost 10 to 30 times. So the real number could easily be 30,000 deaths per day. And I'll give you one data point to show you why we suspect, and most experts on the ground suspect, that the counts are severely undercounts. One crematorium in New Delhi reported that on average it receives about 10 bodies a day during normal times. It is now receiving over 100 bodies a day. Mm. And crematoriums are running 24/7, nonstop, with bodies lined up outside. The picture is one of real dystopian hell.
Yeah.
And the graveyards are running out of space. And every day on social media, I see posts of people just begging for oxygen cylinders, begging to find a bed. And they're using all these kinds of informal social media networks to connect to somebody who can supply them with an oxygen cylinder, find a bed for them somewhere to get their loved ones admitted. So it's really something that is indescribable. And I've been monitoring media stories from here, but honestly, and the media stories have been quite depressing, but the situation on the ground is many times worse than what any media story can capture.
You know, earlier in the pandemic, India seemed to be doing better. Now, all of a sudden, the situation is spiraling out of control, and there's so much criticism of the Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, his party, lost a key state in elections there over the weekend. Who is responsible, in your estimation, for this catastrophe in India?
Well, the responsibility has to always rest with the person and at the highest levels of the government, which in this case is the Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, partly because he engaged in the same kind of wishful thinking and denials that we saw during our pandemic, at the height of our pandemic, from our then-president, Donald Trump. If you recall Trump's famous statement, February 26th, he said, you have 15 people, and then within 15 days, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be close to zero, the famous statement. Modi engaged in similar kind of statements. He talked about, he was boasting in February,
He was boasting about India being self-reliant and beating back the virus. His party was soliciting him with calling him a visionary leader and a leader of a victorious nation in the fight against COVID. And at the same time, his own scientists, much like what happened here, were warning him that it is premature to celebrate and things could easily get out of hand if government is not careful. So what did they do? There was a major election, as you noted, in the state of West Bengal, which is the state I come from. And we are very grateful that people in my state rejected Modi's leadership in a resounding margin. But throughout this election season, he was holding major rallies to the tune of hundreds of thousands of people attending these rallies almost every day. Not only that, there was a major festival, a major religious festival, which he could have controlled, but he allowed that major religious Hindu religious festival called Kumbh Mela to go forward, where millions of people gathered to celebrate that festival. And then the results were very predictable. You know, you have mass gathering, almost no masks in sight. The difference, Melissa, between what is happening now and what happened earlier was earlier when I was talking to my friends and family in India, almost everybody was masking. And there were some levels of lockdowns, some type of lockdowns going on across the country. The lockdowns were eased up during last summer, but people were still masking. But over the last few months, everybody became complacent. The government did not warn people, even though their own scientists were telling them that things are easily going to get out of hand. And perhaps the most criminal of mistakes that the government made, which I think should be considered a crime against humanity, is that the government did not order vaccines. Even though India is one of the largest producers of vaccines in the world.
Right, and they've got a vaccine shortage, yeah.
There's a massive vaccine shortage. In my city of Calcutta, there is, you know, even though the government is saying everybody above 18 can get vaccinated, but nobody can find the vaccine.
And,
my father
is
a physician, and he cannot find the vaccine for himself or anybody in his family.
And oxygen in short supply, too. So, okay.
Oxygen supply. Most people that are dying now, a significant part of them are simply dying because of a lack of oxygen.
Wow.
Something as basic as that the government did not pay attention to.
It's hideous. It is hideous to watch this unfold, and even more so, of course, for you and others with ties to India. And so for those listening to our conversation right now, Parvez, and they say, well, that's terrible, but it's half a world away. What takeaways do you think we should be drawing here as Americans as we watch what's happening in India?
Well, this pandemic should have taught us that nothing is half a world away. Anything that happens in the remote parts of the world will have a contagion to our shores if we are not careful. So thankfully, the Biden administration has stepped up and it is sending vaccines and PPE equipments and oxygen generators to India. But the challenge that remains in India is not just the availability of vaccines, but the distribution of vaccines and oxygen. This morning, I read a report that despite major aid, one report said over 300 tons of emergency aid has been supplied to India, but in the last 5 days, but almost none of that aid has been distributed down to the states. So the situation is so hopeless right now, and you feel a sense of fatalism that I had never felt before. It's partly because we just do not know that even with all of the aids and all of the assistance that not only the U.S. but other countries are stepping up, and rightfully so, because everybody realizes that if this virulent strain in India is not under control, then it will certainly have a contagion. We are already actually hearing reports that in Houston and in Michigan, already some cases of the Indian strain have been found, and they are spreading in the communities as people are returning from travel to India. So nothing is, nothing is half a world away.
Yeah,
I have to cancel my own travel to India. I was you know, my mom, perhaps you know about this, my mom passed away about a year ago, and I could not visit her then as she was in her last few days. It was right at the beginning point of the pandemic when travel had stopped to India. So we waited until we got vaccinated and we booked our tickets to go see my dad and my family. But again, we had to, so this is the second time we had to cancel our tickets to India.
I'm so sorry to hear that. It's an absolute tragedy. So, you know what, as Parvez said, these strains can make their way to America. So get vaccinated. Keep masking up when you're indoors, especially outdoors. The CDC says no need to. But when you go inside and there's people, put on the mask. This is common sense. Parvez, thank you so much for sharing your personal story about this. And I think that really brings it home for people. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Melissa. Appreciate it.
Okay. Now some good news. The Jacksonville International Auto Show is transforming the Prime Osborne Convention Center into this area's largest new car showroom, happening this weekend. And after a pandemic year that's been tough for most businesses, the auto industry is bouncing back. You can come out to the auto show and look at features, options, and stylings from nearly two dozen car lines. Show producer Lowell Briggs is on the line to tell us all about it. Hey, Lowell.
Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, so the auto show is always popular. It's great to see it coming back to town. What's on the agenda this year?
This is obviously a great year. I mean, this is it's kind of a symbolic moment, I think, you know, for the show and for Jacksonville, that, you know, life is kind of slowly returning back to normal, and we finally have some entertainment options that we can attend to. So mm-hmm. Obviously we want to put safety of our visitors first, but we're also putting on, you know, a great entertaining show. We're going to have over 300 cars on site from over five manufacturers, including some new lines that we haven't had before. Exotic cars like Lotus and Lamborghini will be on hand. We'll have Maserati and Bentley there for the first time, in addition to all of the kind of the makes and models that you would expect for the show and for people who either are looking for cars or just people who want to be entertained. And then, of course, we're going to have a whole bunch of other features that I can get into a little bit later if you like.
Sure. And now you said safety first, so you're going to ask people to mask up when they come inside the Prime Osborne, I assume, and get temp checked?
Yes, we're asking attendees in order to protect our attendees and exhibitors, we are asking people to wear masks when they visit. We're doing a variety of things to ensure safety. We have contactless ticket scanners that will be used, so we're making the toll ticketing and box office experience contactless. We're widening a lot of the aisles to ensure proper spacing throughout the event for safe social distancing. All the vehicles will be cleaned on a regular basis throughout the day, cleaned and sanitized, again, to ensure everyone feels safe getting in and out of the vehicles. Ongoing bathroom cleanings with disinfectant and hand sanitizer dispensers all over the place. So everything that we're doing is really to try to ensure the safety of both our attendees and our exhibitors.
Right. Now, you mentioned some innovations and exciting new attractions. So that caught my ear. Tell us a little more.
So, as I said before, we've got the exotic manufacturers who are going to be there for the first time, and then we've got some other entertainment. For instance, the BMX Trick Stars are going to be on hand, and this is a BMX bike stunt. They'll be there Saturday and Sunday performing three shows each day. It's a whole variety of bike stunts and freestyle tricks by performers who actually won events at the ESPN X Games in the past, and they've been doing this for a long time, and it's really exciting. On Mother's Day, we're going to be giving away free ice cream on Sunday. Everyone likes that. We're working with the Nitrogen Creamery. They're going to have their truck on hand. So that's a way to kind of get into the fun and the spirit of the weekend. And then, of course, we've got our ride and drive program. Chevrolet is doing the ride and drive this year. And of all the models they're going to have there, attendees will have a chance to drive an electric vehicle, perhaps for the first time. They'll have a Chevy Bolt there as part of the ride and drive. We're going to have electric vehicles like the Ford Mustang Mach-E on hand as well, but the one that they can get their hands on and do a ride and drive with is the Chevy Bolt.
Oh, that sounds, I'm sure that'll be a really fun opportunity for many. We also need to point out that this Friday, May 7th is Active Military and Active First Responders Day at the Jacksonville Auto Show. If you're a frontline healthcare worker, first responder, EMT, anyone in the healthcare world or active duty military, they get free admission Friday, yes?
Yes, that's exactly the case. And we're just hoping, you know, we can put on a great show for them. And again, it's a way for us to kind of say thank you for everything that they've been doing for us.
And we want to make it a little easier for at least one family to go to the Jacksonville Auto Show. We have a giveaway. It's for 1 4-pack of tickets to this weekend's Jack's Auto Show. If you want 4 tickets to the Jacksonville Auto Show, we've got a 4-pack. Email us right now at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, and we're going to pick one winner at random and give your name to the will call booth so you can pick up your 4-pack of tickets at the show. Now, Lowell, you know, I would say that this is going to be a joyful event. People are in the mood to get out. They're tired of this pandemic. And they've been through a lot over the past year and 2 months. So I know that you want to sell as many tickets as possible. They can buy them in advance as well, yes?
Correct. They can be purchased at jacksautoshow.com. And there's just click on the buy tickets button on the front page of our website.
So again, it's the Jacksonville Auto Show coming back to the Prime Osborne Convention Center this weekend. Friday is free for first responders and active duty personnel. And again, if you want the free 4-pack of tickets, we have 4 to give away. Email us now at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org, and we will pick one winner at random. Lowell Briggs, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. And thanks for sharing this with all of our listeners.
Melissa, thanks for having us on.
Again, that website, jacksautoshow.com, and email us at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org to win a free 4-pack of tickets to the Jacksonville Auto Show. Okay, a quick break, and in a moment, we've got lots of other positive news and notes from all around town for your week. It's our look at what's good this Wednesday. That's next. Don't go away.
Announcing Vickers Landing at Oak Bridge, bridging retirees with an all-new Ponte Vedra Beach community featuring new homes, a resort lifestyle, and a life plan for every stage of aging. Information at vickerslanding.com. Congaree & Penn, dedicated to agriculture and culinary endeavors, offering field-to-fork dining and outdoor experiences on over 300 acres. Sip, dine, explore. Information at congareeandpenn.com.
For 50 years, NPR has brought you perspective on the news, the big picture, the crucial context. Public radio is also a place for perspectives you might not hear anywhere else.
50 years from now, when people are wondering what happened with the Minneapolis uprisings of 2020, they can literally come back to these boards and learn the entire history just from what's painted here.
Listen to NPR and hear every voice.
To support now, go to wjct.org/radio. And thank you.
On the next Fresh Air, Alison Bechdel talks about her new graphic memoir, The Secret to Superhuman Strength, about her obsession with exercise and the issues that have fed that obsession. Her graphic memoir, Fun Home, about coming out and learning her father had secret gay affairs, was adapted into a Tony Award-winning musical. Join us
today at noon on WJCT News 89.9.
The food website Epicurious attracts millions of readers who want to cook up something special. But now the platform is dealing with a different sort of heat after saying it will no longer feature new recipes containing beef. It's a controversy that extends way past the kitchen. I'm Jen White. Is this move pro-planet or just PR? That's next time on 1A.
Today, starting at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. Well, it's Wednesday, so that means it's time for our weekly look at what's good around town. Let's begin with the Jacksonville Dance Theater. Now, of course, like so many other arts and culture institutions, they went on a long hiatus due to the pandemic. But some exciting news, they're back in live performance with their 9th annual show coming up this weekend at the Florida Theater. I got a preview from the executive director of Jacksonville Dance Theater, Katie McCaughan.
It's really a moving show. We're presenting several different works. The first work of the evening is a long-form work by our artistic director, Rebecca Levy, and it unpacks and explores the profound experiences of people living with mental health issues, and it's called Disorder, and it features several different guest performers, Brian Palmer, who's the division chair at Jacksonville University's dance department. Mark Snyder is a composer, and it's a really moving and beautiful work that, again, sort of tackles the profound experiences of mental health. And I think that after this year of COVID and experiences of isolation and collective trauma and loneliness and anxiety are just ever more present and important to examine sort of both individually and collectively. So that's the first piece in the concert. There's a wonderful duet called Kitchen Sink that's about relationship and tension in relationship. There's a couple of really beautiful solos being performed by guest performers. And then the final piece in the show is called Great Stone, and it's really about kind of overcoming and investigating individual and collective experiences in terms of strife and sort of uphill battles. And that is a piece that we are going to be dedicating to the lives lost to COVID in Duval, as well as healthcare workers, essential workers, and first responders who have worked so tirelessly to keep us safe during these extraordinary times. So it's a really beautiful show. It's moving, it's intense, it's textured, and we're just really excited to finally be back performing for our audience.
So get your tickets now. It's the Jacksonville Dance Theater's 9th annual production, Live in the Movement, coming up this Saturday evening, May 8th at Florida Theater. Tickets at floridatheater.com. Well, if there's one thing that unites us all, it's our love of freebies. Free tickets. We just gave some away earlier in the show. Free food, free this, free that. We get our fair share of goodies here at WJCT Public Media. So this week we're pleased to share that some great free stuff is getting handed out all around town. Let's begin with nurses. They've been heroes in this pandemic. So they're getting some love from Blow Blow Dry Bar, the original blow dry bar and the biggest blow dry bar franchise in the world. Blow Jacksonville is offering nurses free blowouts from May 9th through May 12th in honor of Nurses Week. They're going to roll out the pink carpet for all the city's nurses as a show of thanks over the last year. So if you're a nurse and you'd like a free blowout, go to blowmedry.com and book online or call up Blow Jacksonville. They're located at 9210 San Jose Boulevard. Now, if you're in search of a treat after a long beach day, just want to curb your sweet tooth, ice cream is always welcomed, especially as the weather gets hot. Luckily, Jacksonville Beach residents have a new option, Mayday Handcrafted Ice Creams. They opened up a new location at 1198 Beach Boulevard last year, actually during the pandemic. But they're having their belated grand opening celebration tomorrow. Go on out to Mayday Ice Cream tomorrow, because at the grand opening, you can grab a free sugar cone with a complimentary kids scoop of any flavor. They've got 24 delicious flavors to choose from. So again, free ice cream tomorrow at Mayday Handcrafted Ice Creams at 1198 Beach Boulevard. Check it out. Well, the shrimping business on the First Coast has a fascinating and tasty history. Now you can learn more about local shrimpers and the work they do at Shrimpin' Ain't Easy. This is a new expanded exhibit at the St. Augustine Lighthouse and Maritime Museum. This exhibit will feature more detail and in-depth stories about the origins of shrimping on the First Coast and the multicultural influences that have impacted this vital industry for Northeast Florida. The St. Augustine Lighthouse and Maritime Museum is always a cool place to check out at any time. And, you know, when you get there, climb to the top of the lighthouse. It is so worth that effort that it takes to get up to the top and see the beautiful view and enjoy the old lighthouse. Make a visit down there. Check out the Shrimping Museum. Really cool. And last but not least, please do not miss Friday's show when we welcome back Alan Verlander. He's now the CEO of Airstream Ventures. Alan has a deep bench of experience in regional sports and entertainment events, and he is putting on the new Southern Drifter Music Festival that's coming up in May on Jekyll Island. This is a welcome return to live music, and it will be in a beautiful setting, and we'll have more details on that Friday. And for more good news delivered right to your inbox, listen every Wednesday for What's Good Wednesdays or subscribe to our newsletter at WJCT.org. The good news goes out to inboxes across this area later today. And that's our show. Thanks for listening, and thanks to all of our guests and callers, along with producer Heather Schatz, director Josh Torres, news director Jessica Palumbo, and digital editor Bill Bortsfield. I'm Melissa Ross. This is First Coast Connect on WJCT News 89.9 Jacksonville. Our podcast is up later today wherever you like to listen, or you can always listen through our app. Have a great day. Stay cool. Get that vaccine. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.